with a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. We are going to come to your word, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, we ask you that, Lord, may direct us, empower us, show us, Lord, the thing you want to do in our lives, Lord, and the way you are going to work, and you are working all the time with us. We praise you and thank you and give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for we know, Lord, this is not by might or my power, but by your Spirit, Lord. And we, Lord, know that we have to learn to connect with you, to hear, and to be directed, and to be helped, Lord, in the things you want to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we have been talking a bit about the training that the Lord does with us individually, okay, the way he works with us. Okay, I wanted to look at some of the implications, some of the aspects, some of the benefits about God's training. Because when we understand those things, you know, we are in a much better position to hear and know what's happening. You know, at time, you know, it's not, our training is not just, you know, about spiritual things, it's about everything. Everything that our spiritual life has impact on everything that we have. All our life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Okay, that is the core of us. And so, you know, God cares about not just the spiritual stuff only, but also everything else. And he wants to, and if we follow him, we benefit in all the areas. Because he cares about us, and he understands what it's like. You see, for example, you know, sometimes we break some of this physical law that God created. And automatically we get the negative results. That's part of the training that he has established in the system. You know, if you, for example, you know, do too much exercise and physical, then you feel achy. And if you push it too far, you can hurt yourself. And this is not, you know, this is just understanding some of the principle, you know, involved with other things that maybe are the reason why you push so much to do those things. Okay, sometimes we want things, okay, and we want to them now, when instead, to get certain things, it takes time. You know, you cannot lift 200 pounds just overnight without doing any exercise or whatever things. And if you try, what happens, you're probably going to hurt yourself. Well, that was part of God's training, if you want. Because you were thinking wrong, you were wanting to do things your own way without being actually listening to what, how to approach that particular physical things. Or if you, you know, have always, you know, never move, never do anything, you are lazy, you catch a potato, you know, well, and then you complain because you get weight or you got problem with, you know, moving and getting the muscle there. Well, sure. This is part of God's creation, and all these things are connected. And what we have to start thinking properly, we are not going to do stupid things, expecting God to fix us. You know, I remember people saying, you know, oh, I praise that the calories don't work on me. Well, you're stupid to just even say something like that. You pray that the calories don't work in you so you can stuff yourself up? I mean, get smart. Some people that think they are spiritual, they're actually, you know, very naive. And we have to understand these things so that we don't do these crazy things, okay? So what I'm saying to you, okay, that everything that involved with us, God cares for. And he wants to bless us, okay? But we have to learn to think right, to have the wrong ideas. And really the first things that, we can do, even the principle that we talk about spiritual things apply completely the same way for other things. Okay. God designed for us at the beginning, before the fall, a perfect life. With the fall, we got distracted and we start messing up ourselves. And sometimes, we don't get rid of those wrong ideas and we end up doing wrong things yet. Okay, we had to learn from Jesus. Jesus always depended on the way God thought, the way God operated, the way God establishes principles. Understanding and seeing the way, I only do what I see my father's doing. I only do not my own will. I'm not going after my own fleshy stuff. I'm going to listen what God is saying to me. And this is going to guide me for everything. It's going to make us healthy naturally. You don't even need a miracle. Because the power of God is working for you. And, the power of God is going to work out the things that are there. Because you are going to have the right direction, the right, the wisdom to do the right thing. Hallelujah. See, but, and how you do that? Well, the scripture that we used last week was, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was completely regulated himself according to God's principles in everything. To the point of being obedient, even when was not an easy thing to do, because he knew God's will for him. Okay? But that, how you do that? Well, where do you keep your focus? What you value? How you determine the decisions you're going to make? See, your focus, he was looking not at the circumstances on the moment that were affecting him or anything. He was looking at what was the glory set or the joy that was set before him. What God had planned for him to have. And that was the focus that he kept all the time, even when things were not going the way that was pleasant. Even when he was on the cross, he wasn't there. He was focusing on what was going to happen after. Okay. And we had to learn to do that in a way. This is, really establishing within ourselves what we value. Our values are important. The word in there said, what we love is the same thing. If we love God, if we value God, everything that has to do with God is what we are trying to do. And he's going to guide us into whatever we need. Because he cares about us. And he has done everything that he could do to help us. And he's not just finished with that. He continues to do things, interacting with us, ministering to us, showing us, communicating with us. If we are in communication with him. Evidently, if we are receptive, if we are listening, if you have the right attitude, we are going to be able to connect. Otherwise, just passes over us. We don't get anything, okay? And so we have to understand that this, plan, this ministry, this, training that he has with us and for us, it touches everything in our life. And involves everything, all the decisions you make in your life. Because all the decisions you make have an impact on what happens to you. And sometimes we have difficulty in seeing the connection between cause and effect. But actually in the word, you can see many times, and what I was explaining, I think, last week or the week before, you know, how the cause and effect sometimes is very evident in the scripture. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. You know, if you do these other things, that's what's going to happen. And so, you know, when there is a scripture like that, there are plenty, okay, they're actually showing the way God's principles works, the spiritual principle of God works. Sometimes has to do with our behavior, our actions. You know, but other times it's just a question of also that is determined by choices we make. Praise the Lord. So in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 9, in Hebrew they talk about this in this training, you know, here it says, you know, that when our human father, you know, who correct us, and we pay respect to them, we obey them, you know, and we should be much more readily be in subjection of the Father of Spirit of life, and the Spirit, and live. So here, the actual result is, you know, there the word is, you know, life, the life of God, the life that he wants to have us, that we are going to experience, okay? If our earthly father trained us, and they should have, okay, but their training, their judgment, okay, was according to their idea, their benefit, and so wasn't perfect because they weren't perfect. When God, the Father, trains us, he knows he has a perfect judgment on exactly the same thing that to do with you so that you are going to do the right thing, so that you are going to, you know, benefit from it. You are going to grow from it. Hallelujah. Okay. So the following verse, actually, you know, Hebrews 12:10 says very clearly, for they indeed, for a few days, chasten us as seemed best to them, but he, the Father, for our profit, that we may be partaker of what? His holiness. That's the final result. That, you know, and you know, understanding God's holiness is such an important concept for us, because God's holiness is what makes the difference in our life. It's the separation from the things of the world, from the desire of the world, from the things that are actually are going to affect us the wrong way, and instead of you know, being connected with him for the things that he wants us to have. That's what holiness is, not just being pious and religious. His holiness is separation from the things of the world. That's what it means. And that separation means that you are not affected by the corruption that is in the world and the negative impact that are in the world. Hallelujah. Okay. So, you know, his training is perfect, okay, and his plan is the best prophet for you, okay? And the benefits are not just spiritual and not physical. You know, we are not Gnostic. Gnosticism, all they've got physical things are evil, and so they cannot be any good in that. Well, that can be instead directed in the proper way and shall be, you know, submitted unto God. And if we do that, really we make progress, and we're going to see maybe later on today. Okay. So the idea is he wants to make us partaker of his holiness, of God's life. And that applies forever, not just for now down here. Okay. But also applies here, now as well, because that separation produces result in our walk, in our the way we walk, in the way we act, in the way we think, in the what we choose. Praise the Lord. So really, you know, an important thing, though, you know, is not just something. Today, everything is fast. You know, I want it now. And if it's not now, it's not good enough for me. You know, well, sorry, with God, you know, to send Jesus, how many years he waited? He expected when things were perfect for the time, for it to be able to do what he was doing. is the same thing for you and me in your process of growing in Him. You know, He knows exactly what to do at the right time when you are ready for that. And He's not going to ask you any more than that because you can't do it anyway. He knows exactly well where you are at. He's not going to put burdens on you. He's going to put things about you that you can actually handle, that you can do. So, but we have to be careful because, you know, the important thing is that we stay connected with Him. It's not an instantaneous thing. I mean, you can be, accept the Lord is something that you can do at the moment, but it does involve only one moment. It has to be there all the time. It has to be going and has to be growing because God expects you to grow, to get closer to Him, to work out the things of the flesh inside you that you inherited from Adam. So here is, you know, the point is because sometime training involve correction or involve direction and so on, the changes, you know, involve you making changes. People don't like to change stuff. People won't like to do things the way they do that all the time. Well, life involves change. If you are static, don't do anything, you are dead. And if you are not dead, you get dead because it's not going to work. You do nothing, that's what's going to happen. Okay, so the idea instead is for us, okay, to be participating in this training, in this process of change that He wants to implement in us. Understanding what He's doing and seeing perfectly well, or at least well enough, what He's doing so that you appreciate it and you want it. Okay? All the adjustment and the correction. Okay? Here's in verse 11 there, the one after the Hebrew 12:11 says, now not chastening seems to be joyful in the present. So it's not the training journey. Training means work. Okay? But painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields what? The peaceful fruit of righteousness. We are going to spend a bit of time on that. Okay? To those who have been trained by it. So you see, the peaceful fruit of righteousness is something that is mentioned in many places in the Bible. If you do a search on that, you're going to see that there are many places mentioned that. And we have to understand what that means. That is actually the result of God's training on us. Because you have been trained, and what you got is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Okay, this is the great result that God wants to produce in us. He wants that to grow in us. Now, okay, what is the peaceful fruit of righteousness? The fruit of the Spirit. Just as simple as that. The fruit of the Spirit is the result not of your own efforts. You cannot do spiritual change in yourself by the flesh. The only way that you can change spiritually is through God's help. You cannot grow in the fruit of the Spirit by your effort, by your religiosity, by your prayer, by your thing. No, it's by listening and going along with the direction of the Lord and, you know, responding to the training that He works in your life. See, it's His work. See, we cannot make ourselves. He's the one that makes us. He's the one that imparts to us what? Holiness, the way we said before. You see, He wants us to become more like Jesus. That's it. Okay, so be able to connect with Him like Jesus was. Be able to respond to His direction. Okay, and you know, important thing to know is that not chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Well, that's not completely true, you know. And I'm not saying that the Bible is wrong, because sometimes part of the training is not just negative. There is some positive results. As you respond to the training of the Lord, you are going to have some result. You are going to have blessings, and that's what He wants to do. And as you experience those blessings, that has an effect on you and motivates you to say, yes, you know, that was good. I want to do more. I want more of the training. I want to get growing up. I want to be able to respond to the Lord better. Are you following me? This is not just negative. God is not, you know, He knows very well. Just by negative correction, you don't correct anybody. Sometimes they have to motivate people. And how do you motivate people? You bless them. And He does that, and He finds the opportunity to bless you whenever He can. And He knows how to do that. Okay? So, okay. But the final result, you know, is the fruit of the Spirit is going to grow in you, which is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, you know, some people say, oh, you know, give me love, give me joy, give me peace, but don't give me, you know, patience or long-suffering, you know. I don't like that. Oh, you have especially, you know, self-control. That's a tough one. They're not separated. They're all together. You cannot take one and leave the other. Okay, but that's why it's singular. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay, and it says, against such one, there is no law. You see, when you are operating according to those fruit, to those manifestations there is no law. That means, you know, you are aligned up with God's laws. You are actually operating the way you should. And the thing is, you have to realize that you cannot become more loving, you know, you by yourself, or become more peaceful, or become, you know, this go even take self-control. I mean, yeah, oh, I'm not really self-controlled. Well, you need to. As you learn to be patient. Oh, I'm not patient. Well, that's a good thing. So you better listen to God, because otherwise there's going to be some training going on to show, to develop patience in you. How does He do that? Well, it doesn't give us something right away. And you're just waiting for Him to do it. Why? It develops your patience. It develops your patience only if you trust the Lord all the time, and you are still trusting Him, because that is what He really made the training effective. If you don't trust Him, you're going to reject the things that He's doing. Like, for example, oh, I want to be healed, and the healing doesn't happen, and you get impatient, and you get fed up, and then you get even mad with God. Well, it's not going to get anywhere. If He, you know, He's trying to develop your patience. Even when the things don't go your way, you know, you still love Him. You still, you know, do the things that He tells you to do. You still is the first place, because that's where your faith is. Faithfulness is not just His, but also your. Are you following me? What is the problem that we have? What's the problem? Well, because we, you know, are not, our body doesn't like to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, because has its own preferences. We are going to see quite a bit about that. But the following verse in Galatians says, in 5:24, says, for those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That's the thing that pushes us to actually reject the programming and the training that God tries to do with us. Because I want it now, I want it my way, and I want it, you know. God knows that very well, and you don't need to tell Him, because He knows every thought that you have, any position in your heart, any choices you make, anything. He is as full knowledge omniscience of everything, of everybody and everything. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's difficult even to go with what the problem we have, you know, to know about all of them, of everybody, must be only God can do it. Okay? So the idea is this. But it says, you know, those that are Christ's, that means that are Christ, that means that are owned by him, are of Christ. Doesn't mean that just because they, you know, said something 2 years ago or 2 minutes ago. It means that they are actually, he owns you. That's what means to be in Christ, is not, you know, to have just gone through certain religious activities. Okay. And we had to deal with that. Okay. But those who are in Christ are crucified the flesh and his passion and desire. Then what does it mean? That because they have crucified the flesh, they are going to be obedient. They are going to be, you know, following God's training and submit to his training. Without complaining, without, you know, being upset about it. It doesn't happen the way they want it. It's going to happen, you know, if your request is right, it's going to happen if you connect with them. You know, that's an important thing to understand. And see, this is, you know, the important thing that we had to understand, to connect with him, okay, in the proper way. Our attitude in our relationship with God determines our relationship with him. It's the same thing with anybody else. If you don't have a good attitude toward a person, you're not going to have a good relationship with them. So your attitude with God is critical for you to be able to benefit from the training that he's trying to impose on you so that you are going to get the results that he wants, that actually are the results that basically you should want, because the best things that you can get. Okay? So, you know, in the book of Philippians, Paul prays for the Philippians. And it's just about that, you know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, that the desire is the same desire that Jesus had for them, okay? And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. Okay, so love or values, what you value, the things you value, the things that are important. That's what he's talking about, not just love. You know, we have the funny thing. You know, the word there is agape, is not the way that we say love. We just use love for everything. So here he's talking about, you know, that we, what we value, what is important for us. You know, that, you know, we be, you know, together, abound with all knowledge and discernment. So we had to understand, knowing, okay, what we are doing, and be able to discern. Discern what? Here it is. So that we, you may approve what is excellent. So well, that's really what is, you know, what is excellent, what is valuable, what is important for you. So that you may be able to, you know, when you value, when you love, is for the what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So you see, when we value what is the right thing, what God judges as the right thing, then automatically what's going to happen, okay, that we are going to be clean. We are going to be pure and blameless, ready for the coming of Lord. Okay? This is God's plan. This is what he's doing with the training. This is really the manifestation of the what he's doing with us. Okay? It's what we have to do is to learn to approve what is excellent. The training is to learn to approve what is God's choice. Instead of making the other choices, we choose what God would choose for us. Okay? And then we are going to be, you know what? Having God's judgment. See, that's what Jesus said. I have the righteous judgment because I only judge the way my fathers. Okay? That is what the goal is. That is what God is trying to achieve with us. And it's going to be a process that lasts all our life. Hopefully, it gets better and better. But that depends completely on us, on how we are open and how we are engaged in this training or disengaged and push it away. And then in that case, instead of going up, we are starting to go down. Okay. Praise the Lord. Understanding that helps us. Okay. I am finished though. Philippians 1:11, the following verse. So may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Okay? That means you're making the right choices. Okay? Filled with the fruit of righteousness. Back again to the thing. Okay, filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. They come through Jesus Christ, doesn't come to us. It's his work in us. It's the way he works in us that we develop the way he wants us to be. Hallelujah. To the glory and praise of God. And you can interpret that in two different ways, you know. The fact that, the righteous character in us is produced in your life by the work of Jesus Christ is. And you will experience, you see, to the glory and praise of God. So you see, that's what's going to happen also in you. I mean, it's not something external. It's not something that God, is that you are going to experience or manifest in you the glory and the praise of God. You start, instead of being reluctant to follow God, you're going to be happy to follow God. And so you're going to follow him. And not only that, okay, but you are going to be, for the glory. I mean, what's the glory of God? The transformation that took place in your life. That now you are different. And you are not different because of you. It's because God's glory has touched you and you have been affected by his work. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is the supernatural work that God has that doesn't necessarily mean to be spooky or supernatural. It's just the supernatural work that works in us, in our heart and in our spirit and in our body as well, because the consequences is also reflects in the things that we do and we act on. Seeing the benefit, seeing the impact, seeing really what it's all about, seeing what we should have our focus on rather than on the things of the moment, that those things, everything physical can change. Because God can change anything. Okay? And because God can change anything, as we align up with him, as we respond to his training, if we go according to his direction and we learn to be more and more connected with him, we are going to demonstrate or experience the glory and the, love for God, the praise of God. The only thing you can do becomes the most natural thing. When you start experiencing the result of that, you go around saying, praise the Lord all the time. It looks like you are a machine, but they're just the same. That's the way you feel. Because you are not feeling, this is going to be tough now. No, it doesn't matter what's going on. You got it before. You got results before that you were blessed when, things were tough and you were following God and you got the result and you got blessed. And so, because of that experience, you expect to have the same thing happening again. And you, before you even get it, you start praising the Lord for it because God is faithful and God's going to work the same way he worked before. And you are going to, you experience it. It's inside you. It's planted inside you. Praise the Lord. See, that's why you get patient. Because that he knows better than you do what you have to do now. Okay? You know that you can depend on him. You see, that's what happens. What happens? your trust to God goes up. And it's not because you try to convince yourself. It's because you have been obeying him and you are going to be following him and he's going to be manifesting his blessing and his direction. And when it was not positive, you know that it's going to turn into positive because God promised it. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's a good school we are in. Okay? It's a good training. That if we just understand it and we focus on him, not on the physical circumstances of the moment, and trust more him, we see, focus, go back to love. You know, if you love or if you value what he's going to do, and you stay there, and you know that you're going to get what he promised, and you know that he's here to just minister to you because he's faithful, he was before. See, as we experience God's faithfulness, it is not that difficult to have faith in him. Because to have faith in him actually is the same thing. Okay? It's really trusting God. Praise the Lord. See, patience does the perfect job. In James chapter 1, verse 4, you know, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So you are not in a rush to get there. You want to have the whole thing in the right time because God knows when is the right time. You don't. You think you know because you don't like what's going on at the moment. But actually, he knows better. You see, that's why, you know, you have patience. You can say then, because you have patience, because you experienced it before, or because you experienced it before, you know, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? Because he's my shepherd. Because he guides me. Because without reason, you know, and I trust him, and I follow him. See, he's not your shepherd if you don't follow him, if you don't go the direction he gives you. It's when you start following his direction that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Otherwise, you are not going to be able to say, I shall want nothing. Because you are not going to want. You know, you are going to want lots of things. And the more you want, and the less you get. Because that's the way it is in the world. I mean, it's a bottomless pit. You know, the more you get and the more you want. It doesn't matter how much you got. But when instead he's the one that provides for you, then you get, you're satisfied, you know, and it's him, and you are connected with him, and you are blessed. And you say, man, I shall not want. Why? Because whenever I want, you know, when it's the right thing, because I'm lined up, because he's my shepherd, he shall guide me, you know, to calm water, to, you know, green pastures. And you know that because he did it before. Praise the Lord. Amen. Time to close here. I think maybe we should close. I mean, there are other things too. You know, I mean, there is still, you know, how do you apply that? How do you to put this idea that I've explained to you about, you know, staying in the training, about participating in the training, about even enjoying the training, even if sometimes maybe a bit tough. You know, how you can do that? Well, you know, you do it on the basis of you trusting God. Okay. And that involves sometimes some things that we need to understand and do, and we can just look at the Bible and the Bible will tell us. That's the thing. You see, all the information we need is right there. I mean, in the Bible. Okay. And if we know that he's provided everything that we need, then we are going to be able to go to it and look for it. You see, if you don't know the Bible, and what I mean to know the Bible is not just, you know, a cursory reading through it. You know, if you don't spend time reading the Bible on a regular basis so that you become familiar with all the basic concepts and you deal with the basic concept in a regular way so that you have them there in your heart and your mind, when you get to a situation, you know, it's not a question of going, you can do that if you don't have any better way. Go to a concordance, go to some place like that and figure it out. But that's not the best way. The best way is when you have a need and you go to God and you start praying and puff, comes up in your head the scripture that just fit exactly to the situation you're in, that he has provided for you and he is talking to you. You know, but you better learn, if he does that, to listen and to do it, what he says, because otherwise, after a while, you don't get anything. You don't know anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen? God is a good God. You know, and he's not just a way of saying, it's the fact that he cares for us in a personal way, no matter what's going on. Even in the world situation, he still is doing the best of everything that anybody can think. And that's where we can, that's what faith is all about. Believing that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, that is what established a strong relationship between us and him. But that's not a strong relationship to start with. It's a strong relationship that should grow so that you believe for him, you know, and faith. See, you know that he's a rewarder. So, doesn't take much. You know that he is because you've seen him working many times. You saw that he's a rewarder because he has rewarded him many times, you know, and so you expect even more rewarding. That's the bottom line. And it's not just a question of being selfish. It's a question that we have been built that way. Praise the Lord. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you and know that you guide us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you for that. And in trusting you, we will follow your direction, your training, your correction, your admonition, anything that you send our way, because we trust you. You are our friend, our Father, and the one that cares about each one of us, to the point of sending his own Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We just praise you and thank you today, and open up to you to guide us and help us to grow closer to you and to please you with our attitude and our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.